avec la mer du Nord pour dernier terrain vague et des vagues de dunes pour arrêter les vagues et de vagues rochers que les marées dépassent et qui ont à jamais le cœur à marée basse.
The voice and music of Belgian singer Jacques Brel. It's been 25 years since Brel's death, and his songs are still performed around the world. Many musicians even see him as an inspiration for singer-songwriters like David Bowie or Leonard Cohen. The city of Brussels is in the midst of a year-long celebration of its native son with a series of concerts and exhibits. Michelle Mercer went to Brussels and offers this appreciation.
Belgium, and particularly its capital city Brussels, isn't known as an especially romantic place, in spite of its superb chocolate and charming brasseries. So Brussels is naturally eager to celebrate Jacques Brel. Though he was skinny and had big buck teeth, he became a sex symbol, like Bogart. Brel even won a devoted following in France, a tough task for a Belgian, where he brought a new literacy, wit, and social consciousness to the French pop music of the time. Brel died prematurely, as all good legends do. He was already dying of lung cancer when the off-Broadway play Jacques Brel is Alive and Well and Living in Paris was popular in the late 1960s. Walk down the streets of Brussels now, and everyone seems to have heard of Jacques Brel. At a sidewalk cafe in the hip Saint-Géry neighborhood, Stephen Dutz, a 23-year-old film student, says he grew up hearing Brel, but has only recently developed an interest in the singer.
I knew about his existence because my parents used to listen to him, but I only picked it up about 2 years ago. I started listening to his songs, downloading his songs as well. I think it's certainly his voice. It's like Frank Sinatra. It's automatically connects to you if you have some kind of... I don't know, he talks about Belgium in his songs in a very descriptive way, and I think that's what a lot of people like about it, young people, old people.
As famous as Brel was for his charismatic singing, he's even more illustrious for his early retirement. He shocked fans when he gave up performing at age 38 with a farewell concert at the Olympia Theater in Paris.
Je vous remercie parce que ça justifie. Parce que ça justifie 15 années d'amour. Je vous remercie.
In Brussels, a current exhibit called A Final Night at the Olympia includes a complete film of that heart-wrenching parting show. It also has a recreation of Brel's backstage dressing room, where things get pretty voyeuristic. Exhibit curator Stan Kolders explains.
Yeah, you have his diary here, and some notes, some autograph pictures. Some letters, of course, always a journal, and yeah, his guitar, of course, and some clothes and pills, pills, headaches.
Along with Brel's prescription medicine, there's a comb with a few stray hairs, a half-eaten baguette, and some Alka-Seltzer tablets. Brel suffered from stage fright and vomited before every show. With all these personal effects, the scene suggests a seance, as if we might conjure him back to life. Some fans at the exhibit weren't sure that Brel would appreciate this intimate spectacle of his more private side. Patrick, a 24-year-old Belgian, points out Brel's well-known reclusive tendencies.
Actually, I'm not sure he would like this, actually, because during the last year of his life, he tended to live like an hermit, someone who was living on an island, traveling on a boat, and he was quite far from civilization. And now everybody is excited about him, and I'm not sure he would like this, or maybe he would even be surprised to see that after 25 years, he's so popular among people.
Avec le fil des jours pour unique voyage et des chemins de pluie pour unique bonsoir.
What Brussels really seems to be celebrating is its right to create an idealized portrait of Brel, and that's certainly achieved in another exhibit, one fittingly called Brel, The Right to Dream.
Avec un ciel si gris qu'un canal s'est pendu, avec un ciel si gris qu'il faut lui pardonner,
This exhibit is funded by the Brel Foundation, which is directed by the singer's daughter, France Brel.
Il est évident que par rapport à son héritage, il y a beaucoup. Il y a d'abord les chansons.
My father has a huge legacy. There are his songs and his writings, but underlying all of that is the emotion. That's what's most important, that 25 years after his passing, my father's work continues to give something to people. Maybe for you it's joy, for someone else it's energy, and for someone else it's sensitivity. My father was a generous man, and this exhibition is a gift. It's not the truth, and it's not history. More importantly, it's something from him that has been made into a gift for the public.
The Right to Dream is more impressionistic than historical. It's like a theme park of Brel's imagination. Stan Kolders says it's Brel's idealism that made him larger than life.
What he was dreaming about, he just did it. So he wanted to fly, so he bought an airplane and he started to fly. He became a pilot, he wanted to sail, so he bought a boat and he just started sailing. And you have to do it. And it's a lot of risk, and he went really, really, really on the edge of the knife. Every time was living on the edge of the knife to realize his dreams.
Ne me quitte pas, il faut oublier tout, peut s'oublier qui s'enfuit déjà, oublier le temps des malentendus et le temps perdu.
This song, Ne me quitte pas, was Brel's breakthrough hit in the 1950s. It became a pop standard and was covered by Nina Simone, Frank Sinatra, and many others. Ne me quitte pas translates roughly as, don't leave me. As far as Brussels is concerned, Brel can rest easy. His native city is more devoted to him than ever and isn't about to let him go. For NPR News, this is Michelle Mercer.
Je ne vais plus pleurer, je ne vais plus parler. Je me cacherai là à te regarder. Danser, sourire, à t'écouter, chanter, et puis rire. Laisse-moi devenir l'ombre de ton ombre, l'ombre de ta main, l'ombre de ton chien. Mais ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Ne me quitte pas.